Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for spending some time with us again. We do this recording on Thursday evenings, but people listen to us all kinds of different times of day all over the world at their convenience, because you can find us all kinds of different ways. And I really appreciate that all of you take the time to listen to our conversations with our wonderful guests. My guest tonight is Dan Hahnemann, who helps healers move from invisible to invincible, which is a wonderful way of putting it, and we'll be talking to him in a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And the obvious thing to talk about is the winter solstice, which is upon us. It's Saturday night. It's the moment in the annual cycle that is the longest night and the shortest daylight. And we don't realize it. If you live near the equator, you don't really get the effect at all. But as you go further north, the days do get shorter. Our days here in Massachusetts are ending at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I have a friend in Edmonton, Alberta, who keeps telling me about what it's like to have only 4 days of not very bright daylight. So all of the traditions all over the world are about how people dealt with the idea that it's getting dark, it's getting cold, and if this doesn't change the way it always has every other year, we're all going to die. Because that's really what it's about. It's darkness overtaking us and how people deal with that. So basically what has been done all over the world is they throw a party. And the party always has to do with lighting lights, whether it's bonfires or candles or whatever it is. The metaphor of every tradition, every celebration and every tradition is the return of the light and lighting the light. So we have in Christianity the sun, S-O-N, who is obviously the representative of the light and the sunshine returning, the light of the world. In Judaism, it's a miracle in which the temple was desecrated, the darkness overtook it, and they didn't have enough oil to light the sacred lamp that burns all the time, and they lit it anyway. And the lamp burned for 7 days and seven night, 8 days and eight nights until they could get another load of oil. So it would miraculously lasted longer. I just heard of a tradition somewhere in Northern Europe where the shaman, the priest, whatever they were called in that tradition, went to the top of the highest mountain and set the biggest tree on the mountain on fire, in effect, relighting the sun. And sure enough, the sun returned. So he obviously did his job. But in many ways, it's about people getting together at a time which is cold and dark. And what am I going to do when it's so cold and dark? And throwing a party for each other and having camaraderie and telling stories about how light always overcomes the darkness. And that's really one of the themes that I talk about all the time, looking at what's going on in the world and certainly looking at what's going on in American politics. We've lived through a time on this planet when the darkness, the terrors of various kinds have overtaken the world. And there are a lot of very scary things that a lot of people are running around like Chicken Little screaming about. And the whole idea of the Mayan, the shift in the Mayan calendar last December was that this moment in time is the change between all that darkness and the coming ascendance of the light, that darkness is going to disappear. And that's really hard to wrap your head around when things still look crazy, except one of the things that we know is that before any big change, whether it's in your life or on the planet or anything else, there's chaos. That everything goes a little bit wacky before it reorders itself into a new way. So things look a whole lot worse. But let's take a look at some of the signs. You know, if you're not reading tea leaves or looking at astrology, let's just look at the news. And one of the things is Pope Francis, who is teaching a totally different way. Well, he's going back to the original teachings and turning around the Catholic Church and a lot of things that people have for a long time said, how could they possibly think this, do this, say this? He's changing that. That is huge. That's incredibly big in terms of looking at a change in the world. The other thing is people say, but look at all this stuff that's going on. Well, most of the stuff that people are freaked out about always was going on. The difference is it was going on in the shadows. It was going on in the darkness. It was hidden. What's happened from my perspective is that there is so much light on the planet. The vibration of the planet is so much higher now that all of that stuff that used to be hidden now can be seen. And since the forces of darkness, for lack of a better term, have been doing what they've been doing for thousands of years and doing it exactly the same way, they don't have a whole lot of flexibility in their repertoire and they don't change quickly. So they just keep doing what they're doing in broad daylight, being seen. And that's what we're seeing now. And everybody's going, oh my God, this stuff is me. Well, it always was there. But now you can see it. And the fact that we can see it means that it can be changed. Because when you bring something to light, when you do any healing, what you're doing is bringing whatever was dark and hidden to the light. And that's what we're going through right now. So for me, in many ways, this particular winter solstice is a very big celebration of the triumph of light over darkness. And I'm very excited to see what happens in this next year as all of this unfolds. So I wish you a very merry everything and a very happy always. And whatever it is that you celebrate, enjoy your friends, enjoy your family, even though this is usually an opportunity to bicker with your loved ones, and realize what we're really celebrating is the return to light on planet Earth, which is an incredible thing to celebrate. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing, and now we get to play with Dan Hahnemann, who talks about helping healers get unblocked and moving from invisible to invincible. So I'm really curious what he's been doing. Hey, Dan.
Hi, David.
How you doing tonight?
Good. I really enjoyed listening to you talk. You've got a warehouse of information, wisdom, and I really appreciate what you're doing in the world.
Thanks. It's nice to hear. You're doing some cool stuff, too, from what I've heard. But before we kind of talk about what you're actually doing, I always ask my guests to talk about how they got here, because people tend to look at folks that are doing unusual things and say, oh, you must have been born that way. Or, you know, you woke up one day and everything was different and suddenly you could do stuff. And there are a few people where that's true. But most of us have gone through a much more convoluted and complex, challenging route. And I think that's always an important story for people to hear. You know, what was your walkabout? So how did you wind up doing this? What was your path?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking about that before I was coming on, is this whole thing about the walkabout. And I'm like, well, geez, you know, I really think the walkabout is ongoing, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
You're right. And I know you get that. I'm like, I'm still on my walkabout. So, but to talk about, you know, how I got from where I was from the beginning to now, I'd love talking about that. And, you know, as a kid, I think about it every day, all these things, and they just, everything flashes through my mind. And I think about how when I was a child, I came in with so much openness and love and, you know, so innocent, so to speak, just so open and filled with love. And I was very shy, and I'd jump under the kitchen table when people would come over and hide. And I didn't want to be around people just because I was overwhelmed by their energy. And So I didn't know what that was about back then. But, you know, later on, I came to find out I was just, you know, very sensitive, and I was picking up on lots of stuff. And you're not taught that as kids. We're just, you know, they say you're quiet, you're shy, you know, that kind of stuff. So I didn't understand all that stuff back then, but I just knew I felt different. You know, I felt way different. I felt way different than everybody else. And I had some different experiences, like everybody does, and of like walking home from church. You talk about the shadows of darkness. I remember feeling like the devil was, following me home. You know, that was my interpretation at the time. I was seeing footprints in the snow as I was walking home. And that's kind of like one of my first, one of the times anyway of many, but one of the times when there was that cracking of a veil, and I was like, wow, it freaks you out if you have no one to talk to you about it. So anyway, everybody just says, oh, that's just your imagination, all that kind of stuff. And but yeah, I mean, I just found that as I was growing up, as I would share things, that there are just things I knew, that most people wouldn't expect me to know. And psychic things, I would predict things, in sports, I was, very much tuned into that. I'd make bets on things, and I did pretty well with that because I just would get a real good sense of things. And things that were just kind of like really shocked people. But I, as I was growing up, I was pretty content and happy as a kid, but once I got into my teenage years, I was very depressed, very anxious. I was like, all right, I just want to grow the hell up and do my purpose, whatever the hell that is. I got a lot to share, got things to do. Why am I, in this high school where, all the stuff going on here doesn't make any sense to me? that's how my high school journey was. And I was just very depressed. I was actually part of my whole invisible to invincible thing is because people – I had actually one classmate call me Mr. Invisible as a as a classmate. So he said, "You're just blend right into the walls." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's right." So I did a lot of work on myself back then, step by step. I started doing journaling and I just did anything I could do to feel better. I went to see therapists, psychiatrists, everything, and. Anyway, that's a very long story, all that stuff. But I started doing creative writing and studied psychology in college. Then I decided I'm going to so-called conquer, my fears around, talking with people. And I want to get my enthusiasm out. I have a lot of enthusiasm. I have a lot of something to share. I don't know what it is yet, but I need to share something here. And so I got into outside sales selling copiers for about 3 years. And that was really great. I mean, it was really hard. But it's very cool to start opening up finally. And I'm like, okay, well, copiers isn't my thing though. So I went back to college and got a master's in clinical psychology. And there again, I was judged as being different and too weird and, all this stuff. And I was even, I was held back. I mean, they even held me back. They're like, what the hell? We don't understand the way you do things. When they do the practicums with me, I'd be tuning into people's energy and they're like, well, this isn't how we teach how to do this. You're not following our model. Like, okay, sorry. So anyway, once I got out in the world, I did many different, counseling, different types of roles. And, a lot of the people just were really impressed by what I was able to bring forth. And I was able to see things through fresh eyes. I saw things from more of a deeper perspective rather than more of the textbook, of how we're supposed to address things like chronic mentally ill people and things like that, who I worked with first. And then I worked with everything, phobias, marital issues, depression, whatever you can think of. And then along that path, I studied science of mind. I became a licensed practitioner of that. And then I also got some certifications in hypnosis. I started a private practice, started helping people in that way. And I just started having these experiences where I was really opening up my intuition, and people would just say, even in graduate school, people at the top of the class, the people that we call the brainiacs, right? They would come to me and they'd be like, "We want your opinion on this case that we're working on." Like, I'm like, "You want me to tell you?" And it was just because they're like, "Yeah, you just seem to know things, And so there is a bit of a gift in what I do, but it's far more abundant than people realize. So, but anyway, the bottom line is since I was having these openings, I just found that I was able to know just about anything I wanted to know when I'll just let it come in. And I was like, well, it was just kind of happening at times and then in a real deep way. And then I was like, there must be a way to focus this and tune into this gift to help people in a more directed way. So this is what how the energy scan technique that I teach was born. And I asked for a specific way to tune in, and then I was given instructions on how to do that. And it includes lots of grounding, because a lot of what I do is I'm really – you're almost – sometimes you're almost like really kind of – have the feeling of like merging with people's energies and whatnot, and you start to really read it, but yet there's a real detachment in it. And mm-hmm. we really teach how to, you know, be really grounded. And people that feel very unbounded but very intuitive learn to get grounded in doing the type of work we do it and the way we do it. And so for me, I had to really go through this journey of feeling very inward, like I don't, you know, I got some weird stuff going on inside me to share in the world and I don't know how to share it. And to finally, you know, starting to presence it around 2009, I got online. I started finally, you know, promoting the fullness of who I was rather than just doing, I don't know, coaching and hypnosis. And I started saying, I do energy scans and I do energy healing. And the minute I started doing those things, things started to move forward. And then as I learned how to more strategically offer energy scans and how to help people more effectively through that and make offers of my services, I really started to prosper in a you know, working with people one-to-one. And then I started to teach other people to do the same thing, get the same results, and be able to make, be thriving and doing a healing business. Now, I teach people all around the world how to go from, oh, I kind of think I'm intuitive and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm a healer. I have no idea. doing it and thriving, doing that after lifetimes of, suffering persecution, et cetera, things that showed up as persecution in past lifetimes, and being able to finally step into that in this life. So that's very, it's a very interesting path.
I'm sure, because we're all on some version of that path.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to give you an idea of my background as well, one of the things I did was worked in locked psych units. Mm-hmm. And my background is education, but mm-hmm. long story. And I wound up working on a locked unit at a private hospital with young adults. Mm. And I could see what was going on with some of the kids, and they would reveal things to me. So one of the psychiatrists said, well, you should be sitting in on the sessions because the kids trust you and tell you things that I'm not hearing, which in a stodgy old private psychiatric hospital made a lot of waves. Nobody was very happy with him doing that. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things where the kid would just be talking along and go, oh my God, is this what happened? And she was like, how did you know that? Mm-hmm. Because I could see it, you know, mm-hmm. just as she was talking unfold. So yeah, being able to get the information intuitively in those settings, especially when everybody is trying to be very, very careful about how they approach everything, is really a shortcut to the patient healing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're suddenly hearing them and seeing them in the way they want to be, but they can't express it, and you can give them that being seen, which then lets them heal.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously your focus is people who are already healers in one way or another, and helping them, from what I'm taking from what you're saying, helping them own what they're doing and put it out in the world. But you also teach this process mm-hmm. That you do, the energy scan. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the energy scan?
Yes. So what I do is I help people tap into their natural, intuitive, and psychic gifts through a specific, just the basic teaching of how to do that. Plus, there's a focus technique that I share through a training I do that helps them to go ahead and tap into people's energy fields to help them. It's typically people, but you can really use it for anything. Right. And a lot of times people will go ahead and use it with their animals and things like that. And you can use it for, again, anything. You could read the walls if you wanted to. Most people aren't really too good at that at first because they got to start somewhere. And it is a process that when I teach it, some people, right away they're running, with it. And it's no big deal in terms of flying high with the teaching right away. But for most people coming in, it's like, it's like, wow, I can do this. And then it's like they have to really build it, like that muscle up and really strengthen themselves to be able to go out and do it more effectively. And with the energy scanning, what we teach a lot of is, we show the way to really be able to scan for any kind of information in someone's energy field. We kind of point the way, but what we do during a weekend online that we offer is we show people how to really go through the seven major chakras as one of the major access points. And there's more than enough right there. I mean, I know there's people say there's a billion chakras and there's this, but you're missing this level and this level. Yeah, there's always more. There's only the infinite amount of information, but we really find the smallest amount of information sometimes is just really most meant to be shared in the moment is really what matters. And so we really teach that to our students as well, is to start just trusting, and the extra information, like people like you and me and others that are intuitive and probably can rattle off lots of information fast, they get really blown away by that. And it's like, well, that just happens through a lot of practice for the most part.
Right. Exactly. And, I don't know what your particular method is, but when I talk to someone over the phone doing an intake conversation, I have a version of what's called paper dowsing. I have a piece of paper in front of me and I write down a bunch of letters and numbers, and each of them is a question and I get an answer to it, usually in the form of numbers. So I can be sitting there having the rest of the conversation, but download a whole bunch of information about what's going on with the person. Mm-hmm. It's just one method of doing a quick scan. Mm-hmm. So is your method basically doing a chakra scan? And, how do you approach that?
Well, it's basically just gets down to trusting what's right there at the subtle level all the time. So it's just like everything else. But there are specific, methods that we have people use to tap in. And, those are things that I've learned just not to really share, as far as the specifics, unless they come through the training. Otherwise, I just find people just like, okay, now I know it, I'm done. You're like, and people don't end up doing anything with it is the problem. So what we did, after making that mistake in the past, I just let them know, we're taking a look at how do you tap into that subtle energy field, like, how do you tap in deeper to those feelings and knowings you have about people all the time anyway? Like, you're always right. Oh, I get those hunches and those feelings. And, well, it's there already. Now, how do you, just the question I had, how do I focus in on that energy in a conscious, focused way to be able to really ask questions, get answers, and trust those answers and be able to help people, by scanning their energy and working with spirit to get messages from spirit to help them and to help get clients to help in the healing process. Like you said, a lot of the modalities and ways people help people that I've learned about with healing is we're not always doing, a whole lot of diagnostics. And some methods would say you don't need to do diagnostics, et cetera, et cetera. I beg to differ. I think, it can be very helpful to be able to tune into certain things that are going on with people. And if we miss it, some of those subtle things that you might miss otherwise, and we don't address that in the healing process one way or another, they can just keep running, and someone's energy and in their life. Right. So yeah, we like to teach people how to be able to do that, so they'd be able to read people's lifelines, their past lives, all that kind of stuff. We do teach people a little bit about that during that weekend, because it's really not that complicated. It's just like you just need to practice. We teach the basic techniques, and then you need to practice. And one of the things we get is, we do hear, I've heard many times now, that people really love the chakra teaching that we give and how to really understand what's going on in the chakras and what we teach during the weekend around that as well. And we do teach the marketing and selling, and I do teach a healing technique, a channeled prayer during the weekend as well. So there's a lot to it. It's basically like anyone who's ever thought they might be a healer and want to become a healer, they could come in and get great value, or they could be someone that's been doing it for a long time. And we've seen most of those people feel like it was a tremendous opportunity as well. Like something about it was very supportive or helping them go to another level. So,
right. Mm-hmm. So you cover a wide range of things, and we'll talk a little more after the break. I want to make sure that people know the best way to get in touch with you.
The best way to be in touch with us is to go to www.academyforinvinciblehealers.com. So it's a little long, but academyforinvinciblehealers.com. When you go there, you'll be given the offer to join our community, basically, and to get a free energy scan and be able to get a download of how do we truly manifest the things we have in our lives. You'll be able to get a recording about that. And so you'll be able to get all that by going there.
Fantastic. I'm sure it also lists all your courses online, or do you do stuff in?
Yeah, they'll be able to find it right there on the website. But another place for them to go to learn more about the energy scan training and join us for one of our upcoming calls is to go to energyscantraining.com. And when they go there, they'll be able to join us for our next call. So our next one I know is on January 2nd. I haven't looked at the page today. I'm not sure if they've got the new information up, but that's where they would go.
Great. And I really, just my personal comment on it. So I really like that you give an entry point that's simple for people, that they can just come in and start somewhere, because a lot of things are very daunting. And this way you give them something that they can start out with and something that they can work with and see where we're going. When we come back, what I want to do is just get a little more information about the invisible to the invincible part of it, because I think that's true for almost every healer I've ever met, except for the ones that have incredible hubris and get in their own way. and there are certainly some of those. But everybody starts out as a wannabe or a dilettante, and how do you go from, I think I can do something, I'm not sure what this is, to, or I'm pretty good at it, but I don't want to talk about it, to a place of being out in the world with it. And we certainly need as many healers doing as much work now as we possibly can get. And we'll talk a little bit more about why I'm saying that. So we will be back in just a couple of minutes after some messages, and we will continue our wonderful conversation with Dan Hahnemann about healers going from invisible to invincible here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere, and don't go nowhere, because we're going to find out more.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. I'm home. And I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov. Or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home. I'm home.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha-ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Dan Hahnemann talking about healers moving from invisible to invincible, which is a great motto. And how do we do that? I know it's been a long path for me, so I totally can relate.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really, yeah, exactly. I mean, that is the common, you know, thing. Is most people that come to us, either they have just, again, they just have this sense that they're meant to do. When we're talking about healing work on this show, we're talking about energy healing, basically, you know, right, for the most part. So when we're talking about doing that kind of work, they usually have some kind of inkling that maybe this is for them. Maybe, who knows, or it just sounds like a cool thing to investigate. They're just called to it. Or maybe they do have already are healers. Maybe they've learned some modalities. Maybe they're actually even getting paid. You know, the rarity is maybe they're actually going out having some paid clients. So that's what's right, so fun. That's what's so interesting, you know, with doing this work. And, you know, because it's not something where it's so like tangible, like we hook people up to machines and all this. And it's really trusting the essence of life itself to flow through us and to guide and direct us and to let things happen through that channel. That's what people are so programmed against that it's quite a daunting journey for people. And so what we do is we really help support people through that in a very clear, direct way through the energy scan training, because that's tapping right into that direct channel, basically. And learning to trust that and giving them the tools and the information that helps them to support, just even the support, just saying, yes, that is real. Trust right, it, you know, and a lot of times that's the thing. We're getting messages all day long, you know, intuitively about things and things that could really make a difference in our lives and other people's lives. But we just don't pay attention often, most of us. And a lot of times if we are, we're just like, oh, you know, we don't make anything of it. Every once in a while we put things together where I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was kind of thinking that, right? So right, as some of the signs, like, hey, you know, if we find anybody that has any kind of what we call a feeling intuitive sense with the kind of thing we teach is able to do the energy scanning that we do. So, yep, you know, the ability to do things you see other people do, where they're able to just start spouting off all kinds of things about someone else. If you have any kind of feeling sense based on the way we teach this method, you'll be able to do it. And we find that happens assuredly for everyone. But to really make this journey happen, that's the first thing, is to really begin to trust the channel. Then you have to be able to trust bringing that channel out and presencing it together with other people. Actually saying, okay, I do this. I'd love to do this energy scan with you. So we support them in being able to take that step. And then how do you actually not give away, just give away your energy and your time and the healings? And, it's a feeling often for healers like they're holding back. Like, well, if I'm going to do it, I just want to get in there and start healing them up right away. That's our kind of an instinct we have.
Right.
And yet what really serves best is to allow people to step into a container that invites them in to invest in your services, and then be able to really invest in the process of saying yes to that channel of transformation. And I don't know how else to put it's hard to put all this stuff in words sometimes, but you get, I think people get what I'm talking about. It's like, what is the real power in your life? Is it your, when you're going to offer a paid session, is it their bank account? Is that the real power, or is it something else? That's like one level. So we really go to what's really going on. We're not whatever you want to do kind of healers, by and large. We really tune in to truth and what's really true for you here. And then, of course, at the same time, with love and compassion and open heart. But yeah, we hold people to the fire, of what's the real truth for them, to help them. And what we find is that when people allow themselves to feel into that and see that what we're sharing with them, the opportunity for them to transform something we're noticing in their field is really true for them, then they want that. And once they let that happen, everything can change. And so it's a big deal to do that. It's a big deal to be visible in the world doing this work. That is such a huge deal. So there's all the past ideas. Well, they're going to judge me. They're going to put me back on the stake again and burn me up. Well, that's not a very appealing image. I don't want to do that again. So let's just hide it away. Let's make it invisible. Let's just do it under the radar. I've got plenty of people I've met that say they do healing work. They just don't tell anybody they're doing it. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. there's a lot of issues with that. And also there's a lot of a lot more they could be doing if they didn't, weren't flying under the radar so much. So we want to make this visible, because really getting to the essence of this enlightenment, or whatever we want to call it, going on right now, has a lot to do with people standing up and saying, yeah, this stuff is real. Stuff they're talking about in quantum physics, etc., it's all real. This is the real stuff, not all this other stuff that we had been talking about. That is has its own realness, but this is a real deeper realness.
Yeah, I just wrote a rant about the physics versus the energy reality, but this is really the first time and the first place in many ways where, rather than being noticed as having the skills when you were a child and then being nurtured by the elders that taught that stuff and did that stuff. So whether it was the healer or the witch or the shaman or whoever it was would say, that child has got the gift. And then that child would be taken under the wing of that elder and become identified as somebody who had those skills and was being trained. And over years and years and years as an apprentice would assume a position in the tribe of the person who helped in that way. And here we are in the modern world, and we're all just doing what we used to call in my old neighborhood our sidewalk act. We're just going around doing what we're doing, looking normal, while we're also doing something that's pretty extraordinary in Western culture. And one of the things that comes to mind, thinking of another psych hospital I worked in, there was a woman who was profoundly psychic. And that meant that she was talking to her, in quotation marks, voices all day. And the voices were ghosts, because I could see them. I was in the middle of my apprenticeship. I was pretty fine-tuned at the time. In another place, in another time, rather than being a crazy woman who had voices
she would have been acknowledged and trained as somebody who had that sensitivity and would have been helping people with it.
Right.
And instead of winding up in a psych hospital when she needed an old age home but had problems because she was crazy, in quotation marks, she would have been a respected elder that people were coming to for advice. Mm-hmm. And that's true in so many different kinds of ways and different kinds of situations that people that have abilities don't get identified in a positive way, don't get teachers, and don't fit into their community as somebody who is helpful. They're pushed away instead because they're odd.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And Lord knows, the UK loves its eccentric people, but we really don't.
Yeah.
But, that cultural thing, that cultural aspect of the tribe, the tribal elders who do the healing, finding the children that are good at it, and training them and them growing into that role in the community and everybody knowing them. One of my jokes is I'm the village shaman for the global village, which means it's hard to bring me a chicken to pay me. So we use PayPal.
Right.
And it's really hard if you live on the other side of the world for you to come and sit in my lodge for me to do ceremony, but we can get on Skype. or we can get on the phone. So we've used the technology to expand accessibility.
Yes.
On the other hand, while there are people in my town that know I do something odd, most people have no idea or don't believe it. Right. So the local village, not so much.
Right, exactly. Well, that's the nice thing about the global village is you're able to reach out and find the people, around the world and reach such a big audience. The other thing is, you get to find the people in your own local town that might be listening online.
There certainly are people, there is a community here that does healing work, but the community at large that just knows me as, my kid's dad, and he does that weird, I don't know what that is, but that doesn't,
Right, exactly.
So, the work that you're doing, finding people where they are with their gifts and giving them a way to get comfortable with that and start the communication with the outside world in a way that works for them, is a very important piece of work. I really want to thank you for doing it.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Most people that are open in the world, aren't, there are some people that are afraid of it, but for sure. But there's, if I try to teach people how to approach others with the energy scanning too, like just be like, it's just something where I'm able to kind of intuitively know some things. And now that word isn't so scary anymore, being intuitive isn't so threatening, like it's starting to get more and more like, oh, it's not that weird. And then, it's like before you know it, we're tapping in and they're being open to things that, in the past they would have probably thought was weird, but all of a sudden they start seeing how this is really does happen and this really is real, then all of a sudden, wow, they're taken off with it. So I tell people, just over last even 2 or 3 years, I would say, people are more open than ever to this stuff. Yeah. And, people still have that visceral reaction to it. But even those people, a lot of them are so much more open now than ever before. So it's a great time to really step forward.
Right. Well, it's a subcultural thing as well. There are certainly subcultures in the United States, religious or otherwise, that have a real problem with all this stuff.
Yes,
and are very afraid of it. But you learn to sidestep those groups because this is not for them.
Yeah,
it's just not something that they can let in, and find the people that you can help.
Right. I always say the best places to go is the places where you know that they will, like, you know, already love this kind of stuff. I mean,
right.
You know, there's plenty of those people in the world, so we don't really have to look for the other people. But I also encourage people to offer it to other people, because you never know. I mean, they're like, oh, that kind of sounds, all of a sudden they'll equate it to something else. Oh, is that kind of like the secret stuff? Oh, is that kind of like Eckhart Tolle? Right. Or is that kind of like right. Oprah's, what Oprah talks about?
And or the one I love is my grandmother used to do something like that.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, all that kind of stuff. So there's more connections there than people realize sometimes for the people that want to emerge as healers. And I say, yeah, open up those doors. I know I'm afraid to open them myself to this day sometimes. And I'm sitting on a plane with someone and they're like, so what do you do? you know, and I still hesitate. I got to be honest. I'm not always like full barrels. Well, this is what I do. You know, I just feel so confident and like so comfortable to sit on a plane for the next 3 hours with them after I tell them what I do.
Because right.
You never know. You know, you kind of get a feeling of them. But when I've been brave often and when I can sense that they'll make any sense to them, you know, I've had the most amazing connections with people.
Sure.
So we've got to just. You know, if we can.
Well, I'll tell you my trick for those situations. I always say I have the strangest job you've ever heard of. And then they're interested because they think you're messing with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, my elevator speech line is I do remote healing of real estate people and businesses and court cases and situations. And they go, what? Now they're sucked in. Mm-hmm. So there is a way to position it to make people curious, but you know, the people that are going to think it's freaky are going to think it's freaky on the first sentence. So,
right. Exactly. And they already, and what you said earlier is so true. I mean, the things you said it in a different way, but the things we're afraid of are already happening anyway. So, I mean, if they already feel that way, they're going to feel that way. They already feel that way. So don't be afraid for them to feel that way again. And don't take it personally. You know, I mean, that's kind of the fact.
Right. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the stories that are told about things that people don't understand are be afraid of it. And that's the story about so many things that are going on. Yeah. If you buy into it.
Right.
Although what I've come to understand is anytime someone is telling you, be afraid, be very afraid, and there isn't actually a gun or a saber-toothed tiger involved, that they're doing it to manipulate you in some way. Because fear is such a good way to get people to just shut down and say, okay, make me safe.
Exactly. Tell me what to do. Whatever I need to do.
Okay. You want me to be afraid of that? I'll be afraid of that. Just tell me what I have to do to keep me and my family safe.
Exactly. Exactly. That's true. That is true.
So, you know, which means pretty much everybody in the media is immediately suspect because so much of news and all TV and commercials and everything else are based in one way or another on fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they do that on purpose because it works.
Exactly. We wouldn't use it.
Right. Actually, the perfect combination that they figured out in all the mind control that's gone on for 90 years is if you can get somebody, it's either fear or sexual arousal. Either one will short your brain out. Mm-hmm. But if you can get both happening at the same time, you really can pretty much plant any thought you want.
Right.
And if you look at all the commercials for women's beauty products.
Yeah, for sure.
But for a lot of other things, you know, if you can make it sexy at the same time you're telling people to be afraid of not having what you're selling them.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it's very sophisticated stuff. I started teaching my daughter how to decipher what she was being told in commercials when she was 4 years old.
Wow.
Look, honey, they're going to do this. They're going to say, be afraid. They're going to get... do something to make you afraid, and then they're going to try and sell you something. They're going to do it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And she got really good at it. So hopefully she carries it into adulthood.
Well, ultimately, it all has to do with the evolution of the overall consciousness, really. And
right.
So those things, you know, in some ways, I mean, it's like we always have to look at, well, why is it such a gift, right? Why is all this mind control that's been going on a gift? Well, I really feel that it's a great pathway into a greater awakening of how things really work, and that be able to start utilizing your discernment. And you know, we're too panicked. We're too fight or flight about all these things. You know, don't worry, dear. We've got eternity to work things out. It's just we're just playing things out here. You know, we don't have to feel to go up and
I was talking to another writer friend, and we were talking about this kind of stuff as we always do. And I said, well, you know, if all the mystics are right and all the physicists are right, none of this is real anyway. So why are we doing this? You know, what's the problem?
Concerned about any of it then?
Right. What's the problem? Anyway, if the physical world either doesn't exist or is a hologram, then I'm not sure what we're doing. And her response was priceless. What she said was, "This is a big practical joke that we're playing on ourselves and each other. And the question is, why do we do this?"
Exactly. It is, in a way. There is some danger in that kind of thinking, too. Like, you know, any truth that's taken to an extreme could be a danger. You know, so then nothing matters, you know, and then that can be something
exactly.
That is not really
it matters a whole
either,
lot, or you know. We – right. It matters a whole lot, or we wouldn't be doing it. It's very important in some way. But when you step back, it's what's going on here, really? Why?
Yeah, that's something I've really been with David a lot lately, is the paradox of how serious everything is in one level and how not serious it is. You know, like the paradox of everything, you know, and embracing that. And that it's a great place to be playing, and it's something I've really been leaning into lately. It's really a fun place to be, because now, you know, more and more for myself personally, even, it's like I'm not, you know, I'm like, okay, this is happening, that's happening. There's not as much charge as there used to be, you know, around any of these things. So,
right. It's, at some point, it starts to, you just kind of watch it. And then you watch yourself not getting worked up about it and go, oh, that's interesting. I'm not getting freaked out about this.
Right.
This whole ascension enlightenment process that's going on the planet is really interesting, but most people are not aware at all that the vibration of the planet and their own vibration is changing quickly, and they get buffeted around by it and have no idea that it's, you know, not their personal failing or something. It's going on for everybody. And I'm very fortunate to have friends that track all kinds of physical phenomena like sunspots and weather patterns and earthquakes and other things which affect all of us all the time, but also all the spiritual things that are going on. So you can go, oh, this is a crazy day, and they go, oh, you have no idea, here's all the things that are going on. Okay, great, it's not me. It's just what's going on in the world. Dan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
As usually happens, we ran out of time, and we're having a wonderful time with our conversation with you. Yes. Thank you so much for the work that you do.
Sure.
And thank you so much for being on the show. Let's tell everybody how to find you again.
Yes. They could go to www.academyforinvinciblehealers.com. And there you can go ahead and request a free energy scan, and our people will be able to go ahead and be with you privately for free for 15 minutes to, you know, really help to see, you know, what's going on for you. And if you have that question, like many people that come to our site, well, am I really a healer? They can, help you with that and help you to see what's going on in your energy. And then you also will get an audio that talks about more of the deeper truths of how we really are manifesting. You know, how do you manifest something? Well, we're manifesting things all 24/7. So the question is how, you know, how are things really manifesting? Right. And then how can you authentically really manifest really what you want? And how does that all work? And it's a pretty I think it's a pretty unique teaching what I teach with that. So
yeah, we're going to need to wrap up. What's that second website where people can?
Oh, for the energy scan training, if they want to join for a preview, the next preview call on January 2nd, just go to energyscantraining.com. Either you'll get to January 2nd or you'll be able to get a recording.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Dan, thanks so much. I'm really glad Kelly introduced us. And we can do this again sometime. We have great fun on the show, as you can tell. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. A lot of fun.
And for those of you that got curious about my work, because why not get curious about my work? You can find out more about what I do at househealing.com. I do remote healing of real estate, people, businesses, situations, all kinds of stuff. Go to the contact page and you'll find every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including my online calendar, so you can set up a time for a free assessment of what's going on with you and how my work might be helpful. So please take advantage of that. If you're looking for where to listen to the show or listen to all the other shows in the archive, you can go to, cleverly enough, thefarkasfiles.com. We're also available on iTunes podcasts and several of the live streaming online talk shows. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Enjoy your holiday.